say amen. Amen. All right, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the, the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll stop right there. Now, a couple of things I want to bring to your understanding tonight. One is that once you were born again, the new birth, then this has changed your status. I mean, the change of your status is huge. This is not some small change. This is a big change. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about Jesus, and when Jesus was raised from the dead, again, a change of status, that he died on the cross, went to the grave for you and I, and now he's being raised again. Ephesians chapter, I said chapter 2, please. Chapter 1, if you will. It says here that verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness and his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay. Everything was put under Jesus' feet. Where are the feet located? In the body. So who are you? You're the body of Christ. All right, now go on down here, and it says in verse 6 of chapter 2, and raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you? Now you're here, but where are you also? You're in heavenly places. Now you're above what? All what? Principalities and powers. Lord have mercy. Come on, Jesus. Are y'all with me? So I'm seated with him. Now this is a powerful separation because I'm far above all principalities and powers. Now what I'm saying is we need to take time and get this in our spirits. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places above every name that could be named. Now that's found in Philippians. Come on over here, Philippians chapter 2. Lord have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Now underline that, because that's where you are. You're up. You're sitting up there with him. You highly exalted him and given him a name which is above what? Every name. And at the name of Jesus, every what? Knee shall bow, and in heaven and things in the earth and things where? Under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that who? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now this is where you're seated. You're seated there with him. And what he has done is he's conferred upon you his name. And so you have his name now. And because you are seated there with him and you are in the kingdom of God, basically you are unable, glory to God, you are out of reach of the touch of evil. Look, put it up there, Numbers chapter 23 and 23. In other words, the devil can't work witchcraft on you. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any what? Divination against Israel, according to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel with what hath God wrought. Now, my point to you is that one of the things that happens in these last days is the occult is picking up. The occult is picking up, but the church should be picking up. Because there is no occult force that can stand against the church. There is no occult force that can duplicate the power of the church. Look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 27. Now this is when the king had a dream, but he didn't know what he dreamed. And he came to the people, he came to his sorcerers and all them, and he said, now what did I dream? They said, hey, you know, we don't know what you dream. If you tell us what you dream, maybe we can tell you what the dream meant. He said, I don't know what I dreamed. If I did, I will tell you. But because you can't tell me, if you don't tell me, I'm gonna cut your head off. Now that's proper motivation, do you agree? But what they couldn't tell him. But Daniel came up and Daniel said, cool up, king, I got you covered. You know, I'm putting it in my own words now. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot be, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? Glory to God. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth what? Secrets and what? Maketh known to the king. Now my point to you is that notice how far above the occult you are operating. They couldn't tell him. The magicians, they couldn't tell him what that dream meant. But a person who's connected with God can tell him what the dream meant. See, one of the reasons you get up and pray is because you're not praying just to pray. You're getting up and praying because God knows what he wants you to do during the day. And what you're doing in prayer is clearing the way. You're making it so that demons cannot stop your travel. Your productivity, your projects, your programs, your profit, they can't stop you. And God has a plan for your life and he wants that plan to come through. So my point to you is this occult thing is something that the enemy has been using and using it against God's people. And what has happened is because many of God's people have been not mature, then they have been overcome by that. Now, I gave you an example Sunday and I'll repeat it again. And this is a lady whose mother died. And she was a very strong Christian, and she died, and she went to heaven. And so what happened was this gentleman wanted to know what happened to her. Why did she die? She wasn't that old, and she found out that her mother had a dream. And she had a dream that she was in a car wreck, and then she dreamed a dream again that she was in a car wreck, and then she dreamed it again. Three times she dreamed it, that she was in a car wreck. And so what happened was, shortly after that, one of her relatives was in a wreck and died. Not in a car wreck, but in an accident and died. And then all of a sudden, this thing started taking over her mind and so forth. And I guess she began to start speaking some things and so forth and so on. The next thing you know, she...